Keller Podcast, Studio B2, aka Tim Keller's Basement. So last podcast,
who are you with?
What are you talking about?
You didn't say who you're with.
We got a special guest today.
We were gonna get to that, man. Let me do the intro right.
Okay.
Anyway, since Tim ruined this, so anticlimactic, we have a special guest, ladies and gentlemen. This gentleman goes by the name of Johnny Slick. Johnny, how are you?
I'm doing good.
He's got the radio voice, don't he?
Me?
Yeah.
Not you, Johnny. No.
Good job, Cody.
Anyway, last podcast, what were we going to get to?
Nothing.
All right. This isn't awkward at all. Intro. Cody Campbell is on point, as always.
On fleek.
On fleek.
Oh, my. All right. Topic for today. We're going to continue with Tim's progress and then talk about subs, and we thought we'd bring in the sup man himself since Mr. Slick knows a lot about this stuff, as well as Cody and his friend at the gym who takes pre-workout deer antler or something or another.
We'll get to that later.
All right, Tim, where are you at?
Well, I'm right here, but with the work, well, I guess with the, I think I lost like another 3.6 pounds this week. So that puts me at a total of 42 pounds. So 8 pounds away from the goal we set last week of 50 pounds lost.
Sweet.
Yep. So we should, honestly, we should probably be there in about 2-3 weeks tops, I figure.
8 pounds, 3 weeks.
From what I've been losing lately, I don't see why that would be a problem, and especially with the workouts I've been doing and.
Is the weather going to hold you up walking? You were out there walking the other day, weren't you?
Yeah. I was out this morning. It was 30 degrees. It didn't bother me any.
Did it slow down the...
Actually, it was the second fastest pace I've walked. So, no, it didn't slow me down.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I did 4 miles. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep up the good progress. Johnny, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you work at, where you went to school, what's your background?
So I went to school at Shepherd University. I have a degree in fitness and exercise science. It's actually recreation and leisure studies with a concentration in fitness and exercise science. It's a lot easier to say exercise science. Right out of college, I got a job at the Frederick County YMCA. I was an intern there, and it turned into a job as a trainer and a supervisor, and ended up getting hired full-time. So now I'm the only salaried trainer there, but I also supervise the personal trainers and everyone who works on the fitness floor. And I teach a bunch of classes there and do about up to 30 sessions a week personal training as well.
Nice. You had the kettlebell class? That's a pretty big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably, yeah. The kettlebell classes, teach 3 of those a week. I teach 2 mobility classes a week and then 2 conditioning classes, which is a mix of kettlebells and sprints and
cool
stuff that makes people throw up.
And then you do a lot of heavy lifting yourself, right?
Yeah. I had a gymnastics coach back when I was in college, and so I always gravitate towards bodyweight stuff, but I make myself go heavier, make myself move faster when Cody tells me I'm slow. So I got to do some Olympic lifting. So I like to lift heavy. I normally have a mix of heavy lifting and gymnastics that I do.
Mm. Cool. Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Why are you looking at me instead of telling me he's slow all the time?
And it was only once. It just looked at me. I finished. I was doing hang power snatches, and he just looks at me. He's like, man. I was slow and just walked away. That's all he said. It got in my head. Now, every time I hang power snatch, I was doing it yesterday, and I get so mad because I know I'm not fast enough for Cody. I'm fast enough for me, but I'm not fast enough for Cody.
It was like a small critique that specific day. I'm not saying you're slow all the time.
But it's not even a critique. It's normally just you just walk past and just say something.
Some little snarky
you
comment.
Know, something snarky.
I say
know,
stuff
my
like
head.
That to Thomas all
I
the
know,
time.
It's annoying.
It's lucky I don't throw the barbell at him sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, at least I don't get mad and take my shoes off and kick foam rollers around when I miss a lift.
Mm.
Man. Are you bringing up old stuff? That was like 4 weeks ago.
All right, so speaking of lifting and working out, topic is sups. Supplements, we'll refer to it as sups from here on out since it's easier to say that. Easiest one to tackle first, protein shakes. Tim, do you do any protein stuff? Post-workout?
No.
Did you ever at one point?
No.
Huh.
Never?
Never. Well, no, I was just wondering, like, if you did at one point in time, so not this time.
No, I've tried it, but I haven't haven't.
What have you tried? The powder?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With water?
Yeah.
Didn't like it?
No, couldn't stand the taste.
Well, that's because you mix it with water.
Yeah, it was that was horrible.
Yeah.
Whose did you try?
Yours. When you were living here.
That's right. I forget which brand I had.
I don't know. We went to the vitamin place and you got it.
Oh, it's probably the vitamin shop brand. That's right. The big blue container.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, to tackle your situation, though, would Tim need to take protein supplements post-workout? What do you do mainly?
Well, right now,
mm-hmm.
Right now it's just a lot of cardio.
In the form of?
Walking, elliptical, treadmill work.
So would you need protein?
I don't know.
Thoughts?
I mean, what are you eating after your cardio workouts?
Well, in the mornings after I get done working out, it's usually a banana. And that's it.
Eggs too, though?
No, I haven't done eggs for the past couple weeks, actually. Or bacon.
Eggs.
Yeah. Well, because by the time I get done my workout in the morning, I'm rushing home to get a shower and then get dressed and go to work.
What are you eating before your workout?
No, I can't.
Okay, so you're doing fasted cardio, but then you're eating just a banana after it?
Yeah.
So when's the first time you're getting protein during the day?
Probably lunch. Yeah.
And it's usually what, chicken or something?
It's usually chicken. Yeah, mostly chicken. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad.
No. Well, what works for some might not work for others. So, I mean, it's not that you have to have.
I mean, I understand the importance of protein, but I've just never felt like I'm weak or
tired.
Actually, I'm usually wide awake. I mean, it wakes me up. And
are
I
you
keep
starving
going.
By the time you get to lunch?
No. Remember, we've talked about this before, where as long as I'm not eating carbs, I'm never hungry. Like, I force myself to eat. That's one of my biggest problems.
And when you say carbs, you're referring, though, to bread.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, yeah.
Processed banana.
Processed carbs and stuff like that. But, yeah, when I eat breads is when I feel hungry. Or, like, fries and stuff like that, you know. But if I'm eating healthy, like I'm doing most of the time, I have to force myself to eat because I'm never hungry.
Do you think you should be getting in protein?
It would help.
What would it help?
Well, so if you're trying to lose weight, mm-hmm. Have you counted your carbs up, what you eat in a day?
I track everything.
So how many grams of carbohydrates are you taking in a day?
If you give me a minute here, I can tell you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So because my thought would be what your macro percentages are, what your breakdown would be, and if we need to take some of those carb calories and put those into quality fat calories or quality protein calories, then that might speed along some weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if you're having trouble eating and you're not hungry at that point, maybe a protein shake would be okay. But I don't really think anyone needs it. For me, it's a matter of convenience. So
you're saying, what am I looking at?
Looking grams of carbohydrates per day.
Total carbohydrates. well, this was Thursday was 87. Hold on.
For the whole day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday
wow,
was 90. Yesterday was 99.
He keeps it.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so that's
today is 80 so far.
Okay, no, you're good then. You wouldn't. Yeah.
He's well, and this is kind of the situation with him because he's been losing pretty steady for the past.
Yeah.
So I, at this point for him, I wouldn't
change anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you got it. So yeah, because you're.
I'm tracking everything.
Yeah. But how many? What are your total calories?
I usually try to be anywhere from 1,100 to 1,300 calories a day.
Man, that's.
It's low.
Your cardio is lower intensity cardio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not doing strength training. Yeah. So that would be fine then.
Once I lose some weight that I have, I know where in my head and in my goal sheets where I'm going to start doing some weight training.
Okay.
But right now it's just trying to get, you know, get some of the weight off.
Yeah.
To make it easier when it gets to that point.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Now, but so if you did go in the morning and you did do some weights, then that would probably be a good time to stick in some protein post-workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To help your muscle regeneration and post-workout muscle. Yeah.
Not only that, it's going to help too with immune system and everything else
in
terms of functioning properly. All right. You doing protein right now?
That's pretty much all I do.
Which one are you taking?
Me and Joe have been just drinking Synthesix. It's like by BSN. Like you just picked up a canister of it. So usually like him and I will just split proteins. like, he'll buy one and I'll buy the other and we'll just split it. And then whenever it runs out, we'll buy another one. So I've done that, which I really do like. I mean, it's completely fine. But I told you, I really like Nitro Peak when I was drinking it.
Is this one whey protein?
Yeah, it's whey.
Okay.
It's just a basic whey protein, and it's really simple. I think it's like chocolate milkshake flavored. But, I mean, that's pretty much all I do post. It's always post-workout.
Any extra stuff, vitamins, minerals?
I think I've tried that, like, Amino X, like, stuff that Joey has, like, once or twice, but that's about it, just because he kept, like, nagging me to do it. But it's just, that's just basic amino acids and, like, a fruit punch powder. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Does the protein powder have any extra stuff in it? Like, a lot of protein powders usually have, like...
It has, like, glutamine and, like, a couple other things. This one actually does. So it has, like, glutamine. Glutamine's, like, really the big one that's really in this one. Other than that, there's not too many extra things.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Johnny, you're doing protein, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing just whey protein. I got a friend who works at GNC. Anytime anyone returns something and it's, like... The lid is off, or they've opened it up. He's supposed to throw it away, but I won't say his name. But he doesn't throw him away. He brings him in to the Y. And so we've got like a never-ending supply of protein. So I have been taking this stuff. It's called a Pro Complex, and it's a mix of whey protein, concentrate and isolate, and egg white, powdered egg white.
Nice.
So it's pretty nice. Expired in February of 2014, and it's still going strong. Still making some gains. So it's obviously still all right.
Yeah, expiration date sometimes isn't always.
They're flexible.
Yeah.
it's more of a guideline. Powder, rule. Yeah. Normally just whey. And then if I'm on some... Recently, I've been taking creatine. At first, I was kind of cycling on and off. And then the more I'm reading about it, the more I'm becoming a fan of not cycling, just staying on low doses.
Mm-hmm.
So not doing such high doses, but staying on low doses. But I haven't tried it out yet. So doing creatine and fish oil. We do need to talk about that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, fish oil. And then the creatine that I'm taking right now has BCAAs in it. So that's post-workout is creatine, BCAAs, and then protein.
So you do all that post is the creatine and protein?
Yeah, and then pre-workout. Lately, it's been a supplement that is basically a small dose of creatine, either phosphate or nitrate, depending on which one I'm taking, and then beta-alanine.
Okay.
So no caffeine or anything. And then some caffeine.
It does have some.
Not a super high dose.
What's the brand of that?
C4 was the stuff I took most recently. I like that.
Okay.
It's not too bad. It still has the tingle, so you know you're ready to mingle.
I don't get why everything like is always blowing up in these damn like pre-workout like containers. C4, and then there's like, what else is there?
NO Explode, M5.
Like there's like something's always
M5 exploding. Sounds like that firecracker. What's the cherry bomb?
M80s.
M80s.
Yeah.
You don't do pre workout.
No, but I honestly don't because I just don't feel like I need it. Like if I just warm up and actually do something, I'm good. I've contemplated taking like beta alanine, like just for other reasons other than the fact that it's kind of like it's similar to creatine, but it's kind of the opposite in the sense that like creatine helps you with like low intensity, not necessarily low intensity, but low rep ranges and building power. And beta alanine is kind of on the higher side, so turning like a set of like 10 into like a set of 15 or something like in those lines. But I'm not really fond of taking something that my body's going to become dependent on. Like, I just don't like the idea of it. But the only thing I have been seriously contemplating doing, I probably will do it one random week, is like pick up a canister of creatine and just start doing it in the morning with breakfast.
Oh, the reason you would do it in the morning?
What?
Is there a reason you would do it in the morning?
Why in the morning?
Yeah.
Just to kind of turn it more of like a dietary supplement as opposed to like a post-workout one.
Okay.
All right, let's do this real quick first. Protein. What's the benefit of doing whey over, say, beef protein? Is there a benefit? Because now they have, like, if you're adverse to dairy, then you could do the, I forget the name brand, Carnivore?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Is there any difference to that?
I mean, they're removing the lactose out of it, so most people who are lactose intolerant still, a lot of them can handle whey, but still, especially if you're paleo, you're going to want to go for beef
instead
of the whey. But whey's it's faster. It's got a higher biological value,
right?
So it's more biologically available for your body to turn into something than beef. But it's also, you know, freeze dried milk of an animal that's not a human.
Right. All right, so benefits of post-workout protein is to get back in the system. They say that you should do a ratio. What is it, carbs to proteins, 3-to-1, correct?
Depends. For strength training, it can be 2-to-1.
2-to-1?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we are strength training, any type of weights, would you consider like a kettlebell class? That would be strength training. You should do protein shake after that?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to kind of lay these guidelines out so people can understand why we're talking about doing post-workout protein shakes. When would we not necessarily need a protein shake?
When you can eat food.
Okay.
I tell most people, unless you – the only reason I take it is I do 2 shakes throughout the day, and there's always a lot of other food in them. So like my morning shake, I'm training people, and it's really hard, it would be hard for me to eat a salad with chicken on it while I'm training someone and swinging a kettlebell around. Mm-hmm. But I can put spinach and kale and whey protein and coconut milk in a blender and be able to drink it while I'm training somebody. So it's just a pure matter of convenience for that. And then after my workouts, I do like a cup and a half of mashed sweet potato with my protein. So it ends up being that 2-to-1 ratio. Mm-hmm. Just because I immediately train someone after my workouts. So I used to have more time, I would eat chicken and sweet potatoes after workouts, but I don't know if you would. I guess, I mean, technically would get in your system faster than meat would, but
right, it's convenience and time.
Yeah, it's convenience. And the thing that I always talk about is like, oh, I don't know if we discussed on here or not, like my inability to wake up and just roll out of bed and eat breakfast because I cannot stomach food at that time. Like the thought or the smell or like trying to eat something just kind of causes me to like dry heave. So like I'll let my stomach like chill for a little bit, and then I'll like honestly come into the gym with something light like an apple or a banana and like that and a protein shake for like almost like a little small pre-breakfast kind of thing. And usually when I go home around like 10 or 11, I actually eat like my actual breakfast.
Right.
But that's if I'm actually hungry. Like lately it's kind of like a random thing. So like I'll literally sometimes go like 12, 13 hours without eating anything.
I guess it would depend on your goals too. So people who are like if you're carb cycling – and you have a day that's a low-carb day, a lot of times it's hard to find a way to eat food if you just need a straight protein source. Right. At that point, shakes are good to use for that. Or if you're trying to gain weight and you just can't physically get in any more food,
the easy way
to do it would be shakes.
Yeah.
Or I know a lot of people who will do, kind of falls under the way, but doing casein protein right before bed because it's a really slow digesting protein. They will drink a casein shake before they go to sleep, so then they're still able to keep their weight up that way. So I guess it would be more convenience is why you would take it.
And just to Tim's point, like Tim's losing weight, you got some females that usually trying to lose weight, they don't necessarily need to do the post-workout protein as long as, like you're saying, they can get food.
Yeah.
At some point, it doesn't even have to be within the hour. If they're trying to lose and are working out, let's say, 3 times a week weights and mixing in different stuff, recovery purposes, it could be beneficial, but if you're going to go have a decent dinner and not McDonald's, then maybe the protein shake isn't necessarily your thing to do.
Yeah. You want that double quarter pounder with cheese,
right,
man.
And then, like, if my evening workouts, I mean, right after my evening workouts, I'm literally coming home and making food. Eating, so, and it has some kind of so.
Because I think a lot of people just get that misconception, oh, I'm in the gym, that means I got to get a protein shake. Well,
yeah.
Depending on what you're doing, if you're not, you know, going for performance gains, and if you're not doing 5 days a week, then it's not necessarily for you to have a protein shake unless, you know, you can't stomach food like Cody's talking about.
Can you have too much protein in your diet?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's a good question.
Yeah.
It would be hard to eat too much protein.
Even with supplement?
Well, all right, here's a good example. There's a kid that had a nutrition class. He's bodybuilding, doing competitions. Too much protein can lead to kidney stones. He went on vacation, and he wasn't going to be able – we were talking about this class, protein. Wasn't going to be able to eat his protein like he usually does. Usually it was like 2 shakes a day and then protein in the form of food. So he went to like 6 or 7 shakes a day to get in the amount of protein he was supposed to, ended up with kidney stones because of the type of protein that he was taking down.
Yeah. I really feel like you need to mix your sources.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But as for like total, if you're just going total grams of protein, I mean, there are some studies where guys are taking it. It would take up to 5 grams per pound of body weight for some guys to be having these kidney issues, but it might be a lot less for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So they had such wide ranges on who they were testing that it kind of is up to the person. But I think if you're getting most of your protein from like good food. Sources.
Yeah.
You don't even have to worry. You don't really have to worry about it.
Okay. That's cool.
I guess, yeah, the other thing is when you're drinking a shake, you're drinking 60 grams of protein is a lot different than eating, that'd be like 12 ounces of meat.
Yeah. Like two big old chicken breasts. Yeah. Two chicken breasts.
Okay.
It's really hard to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't eat that much. Yeah.
It is hard to do that. So people kind of go to the supplement side. Because, like, when I remember last, around this time, whenever we started, like, whenever I started doing stuff for the Open, I never really tracked my macros. But my only concern throughout the day was, like, I'll take in carbs as I need to because of the fact that I'll feel fine. Stuff like bananas and sweet potatoes and apples and just, like, kind of stuff that will keep me fuller longer, but they were higher in, like, decent carbohydrates and weren't all processed. But my only concern was just get as much protein in as I could. And I feel like I could never get enough, but I was probably averaging maybe, like, 150 a day. So it was, like, try two protein shakes.
Johnny's face. That's
it. So I'm probably averaging, really, like, two protein shakes, which is, like, let's say 25 a piece, and that's 50. And then usually I do breakfast, and I always have breakfast and meat, like, or breakfast and meat. Eggs and like some kind of meat, so that'd be probably another 25, and then dinner would usually be more than what you're recommended, like 4 ounces of chicken breast would be, so I'd probably be putting in like 30. So now I'm at like 105, and there'll probably be a lunch, would be lunch meat or just chicken or something like that, so it would be probably at the most in the day like 150. But then, like, I don't like to feel full all the time, like I don't. But when you're sitting here talking about 5 grams, like 5 grams like per pound of body weight, I would die.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. Like, it just wouldn't work for me.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone's always is scared about, you know, getting too much protein. But if it would be really hard to really get that much in. But a lot of times, the health effects that people are getting because of taking in, quote unquote, too much protein would be what type of protein they're taking in, and then what are they taking in with it. Mm-hmm. So if you're eating crap proteins, you know, high in omega-6s, and your whole body gets inflamed, then mm-hmm. yeah, you're going to have issues. But if you're eating grass-fed meat and, you know, eating eggs, things like that are quality proteins,
right?
You could probably. I mean, when I'm trying to gain weight, I have to get my protein above 200 grams in order to gain weight, and my carbs up close to 4. I mean, I'm taking like 4,000 at least when I'm trying to gain weight, just because I need to. And I'm still tiny.
You're slow.
I'm still slow. It's all that protein.
Let's move from protein to creatine then. You've never taken creatine.
I don't even know what creatine is.
Well, all right, so
I don't have a clue.
So the basic way it works, creatine is supplemental. It works in form because it helps creatine phosphate, which is energy production at the mitochondrial cellular level. Yeah, who knows? And so it does specifically help with powerful, fast movements, so Olympic lifts, that type of stuff. You say you take a little bit before and then a little bit afterwards.
Yeah.
It would be beneficial for performance-based training.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you have to have creatine in order to have muscle contractions.
Right.
It's part of the creatine phosphate system. So if you have a little bit extra, especially if it's in a good form, I think a lot of people are just taking – I mean, creatine monohydrate is really cheap. Super cheap, and a lot of people take it, and it's an okay form of protein. It's been the most studied one. I mean, it's been studied for 20 years, and it's studied as being safe, but there are better quality creatines that are doing a better job in a quicker amount of time that people should be looking for.
So some of those might be?
Like creatine phosphate, creatine nitrate. The one that I take is red creatine, but creatine is spelled, the T is actually a 7. That's the brand that I've been taking. It's a blend of a bunch of different creatines. There's some monohydrate in it. But that was the biggest thing that helped me gain weight, just because it's plunging extra creatine and extra water into your muscle cells. And so really it's and some people say, oh, creatine's cheating because it's all water weight you're gaining. Well, yeah, you're going to gain a little bit of water weight as you take it in. But if it's quality creatine, it's not going to be a ton.
Right.
But same as the argument that could be made for steroids, which I don't use, is that you still have to put in the work.
Right. You're just going to make gains by drinking some creatine.
If you just sit there and drink creatine, you're just going to get bloated and feel horrible. And you actually have to do something with that creatine once it's in your cells. So it will help you produce more explosive contractions. So I would say anyone who's, if you're lifting heavy, if you want to be more explosive, I mean, they're even testing it on sprinters. It's awesome for sprinters.
Right. Short distance.
Yeah, because when you think about it, whenever your body goes through different energy system cycles, if you start out in the creatine phosphate system and you're doing a short sprint,
and you have
eventually
more.
You have to switch to a different energy source. So if you go into anaerobic glycolysis and then you switch into a different energy source as you run, you can delay shifting into one of those energy sources
over.
By having more creatine. So that would potentially allow you to sprint faster before you burnt out.
I got you.
Faster for longer.
Yeah. Same thing with lifting. It's like Cody said, it could make a set of 12, not it would make it feel like a set of 8. You feel like you could have some extra gas in the tank. So
definitely do creatine if your goals are performance based. If you're an athlete, short distance, it will help for sure. Does it hold true that you should double up a week before you start? You know what I mean? The morning and afternoon loading.
Yeah, I did loading. It made me so thirsty.
Really?
I could not drink enough, and then I would drink a ton, and then I was peeing nonstop.
The stuff that I read is you shouldn't have to load. Like you're
exactly.
going talking about the low doses,
yeah.
kind of just consistently, that would be more beneficial than doing
yeah
the week of however much per day. So, Tim, we're going to get you on creatine when you start lifting weights.
Okay.
Even just a little bit, yeah.
See how fast you can walk now.
Yeah. Because yeah, the 1 gram of creatine before the workouts that is in most supplements, most pre-workout supplements, mm-hmm. that would just be to kind of fuel that workout's muscle contractions. Whereas normally when you take it after a workout, it's going to be up to maybe 5 grams. If you're loading, it's going to be like 20 grams throughout the day, but that would be something where you're trying to build up the total amount of creatine within your muscle cells.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why some people a lot of people's only exposure to creatine would be in their pre-workouts.
Right.
And that's what's helping them produce these powerful contractions, but it's safe in small amounts and it's even safe in moderate amounts.
So take it.
Take it. I was recently at a conference for trainers down in Ocean City, and there's this guy, his name was Tony Ricci. He's training the guy who's fighting Manny Pacquiao over in China.
Oh, really?
So he's his training coach, and he was talking about creatine with MMA fighters, and he's saying that's been the biggest thing. He has all of his guys on creatine.
Really?
And that he said there's no point in even arguing about it anymore. He says it's been studied for 20 years. And
it works.
And they're not finding that there's only correlations that they're able to say that, hey, this should tax your kidneys. This might tax your kidneys. It actually hasn't been ever proven that it does.
Right.
So what it does make you do is it makes you take in more water. The only way it would tax your kidneys is if you weren't drinking water when you were thirsty. But if anyone who's ever loaded creatine knows it's you're so thirsty, you will drink anything.
Right. Well, and the point is, if you're even looking into it, then generally speaking, you're probably doing something. You're probably training for something or whatever.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, use it. If you're not doing anything, then don't take it.
Yeah. So if you're looking at performance and health supplements, whereas whey kind of falls into it, could be both. I would say creatine would only be in performance. So there'd be no reason to take it for, except now they're using creatine in nursing homes. Because if it's health, if it's help with brain function.
Okay.
So they're treating Parkinson's and dementia now with creatine. So actually, I'm wrong in even just saying that. So I guess it could be health related.
It could be. I have to look more into that.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff they're doing with it now because they've studied it for 20 years in relation to athletes. And now they're seeing, well, if it's helping athletes so much, what could it help when it comes to
other people
maintaining muscle strength or maintaining brain health?
Right.
Cool. All right. So... scratch off protein, creatine. What's next?
Can we talk about fish oil?
Fish oil.
Yeah.
So basically fish oil, when you're taking the pills or whatever it is, you're looking to get your omega-3s up and not necessarily your omega-6s. Omega-6 you find in a lot of junk. That would be the bad fat, the CAFO cows. We've had this discussion before. And what's high in omega-3s? Fish.
Okay.
Usually that's where you buy it, fish oil pills. Did we talk about testing your fish oil pills before, previous podcast?
No,
I just heard about it. Though.
Start talking about it now because I think we kind of may have.
So if you buy fish oil pills, where do you want to store them? Where do you keep yours at, Johnny?
I keep mine in a dark, cool cabinet, but I need to put it in the refrigerator.
You got it.
We did talk about this.
We did talk about this, right?
I know. I just heard about that.
Yeah, you want to keep it in the refrigerator, and you want to test them to make sure they're not rancid. So you would take one of them, pop it, smell it. If it smells bad, then you know it's gone bad, so you probably want to get rid of those.
Yeah.
So, Fish oils help with inflammation. What's up?
Well, I'm just, what's the, would it be beneficial for, because I've, actually, that's the only one I've actually thought about taking was fish oil, because I've heard of all the benefits. But then I've also heard that there's problems with taking fish oil also.
There's definitely good and bad brands, like better for you, not as good for you. And you have to kind of do your homework when you're buying it. It would help if you don't eat a lot of fish.
I don't eat a lot of fish.
And if you're not eating a lot of grass-fed beef, then it would help take some omega-3s. And it's fairly inexpensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last one I had, I got from Sam's Club, I think.
Yeah, you can basically get it anywhere. Because I would get, like, little bottles or pill bottles, I guess you call them bottles, from Walmart, and they would usually have, like, two for, like, 10 or something ridiculous like that.
Which brand do you take?
Lately, I've just been going to Martin's and getting just the brand they have there, because I eat a lot of grass-fed beef. And so it's, I did have a capsule explode one time in the container and it smelled horrible, so I didn't take it for a while after that.
I actually chewed one.
Oh,
like, we were all standing around the gym, and I'll never forget this. It was me, Steph, Joe, and somebody else, and I was like, here, take one of these and just bite it. And we all just decided to do it, and it was the worst thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. But I'd say for someone, especially when you're trying to lose weight, so you might not be taking in a ton of calories from things that are high in omega-3 fats just because you're trying to watch your total calories. Mm-hmm. That would be a good supplement for you to use just because you're not going to be getting it from a different source.
What's the benefits of it, like health-wise?
Inflammation.
Inflammation. Yeah. It's like, you know, remember how when we were doing the weights before, when you start all that, some mm-hmm. of your joints were hurting a little bit mm-hmm. here and there, like your knees and mm-hmm. stuff. It helps calm down the inflammation okay. if you're doing heavy stuff. And it also helps a bunch of different items along the way. Do you have a list?
For me, it just, think of all the things that could go wrong with your body if it's inflamed.
Yeah.
So it's calming down all of that. So there's a marker called a C-reactive protein in your blood. If you had that checked and it was up, it was too high of a level, that means that your body's in systemic inflammation. And a lot of that could be caused by a bad balance of omega-6 to omega-3s. And omega-6 is the most widely eaten fat in the American diet. So we get a lot of it through processed foods. So if that's not balanced, then you're going to have joint issues, tendonitis issues more often. You're going to have get sick more often, things right. like that.
Okay.
But yeah, you can overdo it on fish oil.
You could. You don't want to take too much.
You know the test if you're taking too much?
No.
If you cut yourself shaving, you don't stop bleeding, then you cut it back a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't shave very often. So.
I don't know. Yeah, I
do
cut
the
myself.
Finger prick. And yeah, start yeah. Squirting do a finger prick. Yeah. Then you know you're taking.
Yeah,
because
I mean, because you need some inflammation for blood clotting. So yeah. You do have to have some inflammation, but it's just to find that balance of not getting too much.
I got you.
So probably what helps you in the beginning when you were like starting this whole challenge that we gave you of like losing weight and you're walking, you're like, my knees hurt, my ankles hurt, my feet hurt.
Well, I think that was just because I weighed so much too.
Yeah.
It's still probably been beneficial.
Yeah.
Because I mean, inflammation is what your body is doing to recover from workouts.
Okay.
So it would help to lower that. At the same time, like, you need some inflammation to recover from workouts, and that's right. why you don't want to pop ibuprofen. But the same thing that ibuprofen does for anti-inflammation is what fish oil has always been able to do. And so we're trying to recreate anti-inflammatories with pills. And here, if people just ate fish or took fish oil, they wouldn't have to deal with that as much.
Okay.
So I think it's an inexpensive, high quality supplement.
Okay, cool.
So definitely.
Now what about EPA, DHA counts?
I was reading something the other day. I retweeted it. I may have put it on Facebook. Guy was talking about, and I can't remember the specifics without looking at it. There, if you take DHA along the chain of metabolism, if you have one of the fats, it can produce all the other ones. And there's like a combo of two.
Okay.
And I think EPA was the one that you didn't necessarily have to have as long as you were getting enough of the
DHA.
I'd have to go look at it again, see if I can find it. It made a lot of sense, and it basically was eating grass-fed
Okay.
Beef and fish.
And fish.
And if you're eating, getting enough of that in, then you didn't have to have the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, we could. That's a pretty big hole to dive in.
Well, the other thing is the EPA and DHA are what's in fish oil.
Okay.
ALA, alpha-linolenic acid.
Maybe it was the ALA that he was talking about.
Well, ALA isn't, I mean, that one's not as beneficial. That's what's in flaxseed oil. So a lot of people talk about, and when I ask my clients about if they know about omega-3s, where they're getting them from, they say, oh, I eat a lot of flax or the flaxseed oil. And it's not the same as DHA and EPA. It's the reason why we're omnivores. We're supposed to eat some meat and fish.
Right.
So
I'm pulling it up now. Basically, fish oil, hemp oil, flax oil, green leaves. That's your omega-3s. Alpha-linolenic. Wait a second. Where's the other one? No dead time. Basically, if you get in your omega-3s, it can produce the DHA. So you don't have to worry about stuff like vegetable oil, sunflower, corn, safflower, that stuff.
Cool. Well, okay.
Yes, it's been, we are carrying on very long, aren't we? All right, so, well, let's touch on a couple more.
Well, I just have a quick question, because I'm probably a lot of people out there that are listening to us, and I just know of a lot of people in general that do it, take a multivitamin pill. Is that something people should be doing? I mean, if that's a supplement.
No.
My problem is, so the multivitamin is not catered to the person. Mm-hmm. So what if your vitamin A levels are already high?
Mm-hmm.
You eat a crap ton of baby carrots and sweet potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and you're taking a multivitamin because you feel like you're low on something. Well, I mean, there's not high enough levels that in most of them that you could become toxic, but I don't know why you'd be taking it if you
weren't low
if you weren't low in it.
Okay.
Generally speaking, the two or three that we're low in is vitamin D,
vitamin
magnesium, and sometimes calcium, zinc, iodine.
Okay.
Yeah. That's generally speaking the ones that we're lower in, and omega-3s.
Yeah.
I kind of knew the answer to all that, but I just wanted to.
Well, no, but yeah,
for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, taking a multivitamin can't hurt, but it's really generalistic. I mean, it's not very specific.
It can't hurt, but your fat-soluble vitamins, if you overload on them, then you could potentially cause some issues over a long period of time.
It could, but it's not necessary to take one, as a lot of people may think.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying, yeah.
I get that. I'm just...
Okay. Okay. You said it couldn't hurt. We're saying it would be possible for it to hurt you.
It would be possible, but people always think it's like this huge thing that you have to take a multivitamin.
Well, it's commercialized.
Because I swear, back in like the 90s, and the Flintstone vitamins were like
top. Dude, I used to.
That was like
I know. I used to do.
Well, I still eat Rachel's just because they're good. But the doses are so low in them. But that's the problem is some of them, the doses, like if you look at a vitamin D supplement,
mm-hmm.
when you look at like if someone's low, and you're looking at the bottle and it's like 400 international units, and the person's like low by like 8,000 or something
it's
ridiculous.
Never get there, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to get there from a supplement. You need to get outside.
Yeah.
And the same thing with all of the other ones is if you can get, and you can't, there's nothing out there that you can't get from food. Our bodies are designed that we can get everything from either the ground or something that eats something from the ground.
Right.
So if you can get it from quality fruits and vegetables, you're not going to overdo it.
Right.
I mean, I remember studying a case in college about this guy who became toxic. He had vitamin A toxicity because he was eating a bag of baby carrots every day.
Wow.
How can someone do that? I was thinking, how could you eat a whole...
Until I ate baby carrots with peanut butter, and then I see how you probably could do it. But still. Yeah, so I guess, I mean, it could be maybe possible if you had something extreme like that, but it's almost impossible to overdose on vitamins if you're getting them from food.
Food, right.
So just get them from food. Cool. Plus, if someone's, I mean, look at some of the multivitamins out there, like those vitamin packs that you get from Vitamin World.
Mm-hmm.
The money you spend on one of those things, you could buy a quality fish oil supplement or a couple pounds of salmon.
Right.
And, or maybe the fish oil and some protein if you mm-hmm. need to use that for the same price that you're paying for
that supplement.
That one vitamin.
Vitamin, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got you.
All right. So, any other supplements that we need to touch on? We fit creatine, protein.
BCAAs.
BCAAs. All right.
Hit those quick.
All right, go ahead. With branched chain amino acids is BCAAs. Usually you find it in protein, some proteins, but they do have their own.
Like powders and stuff.
Powders, yeah. So what were we using for?
People trying to gain weight, I would suggest them drinking them. They can drink them during their workout.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it's kind of hard to eat during your workout. But the whole purpose of a weight gaining diet is to have your body never breaking itself down ever. So most people who have done it understand you're going to gain some fat, you're going to gain some muscle, because everything has to be building up. When you take BCAAs during your workout, it's basically like if you took a sentence and all of those letters were amino acids and they had to be put into your body all by separate words, your body kind of cuts out all the space, or sorry, the BCAAs cut out all the spaces in between those, so those letters can go directly into your muscles and recreate that sentence.
Makes one long string. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. So it's just, it's a lot quicker.
So performance based.
Performance based, yeah. Also, though, if depending if someone's low on a certain amino acid and they were tested for it, then they may need to take a BCAAs.
I've recommended too, like people that try to lose weight, like you do fasted cardio, mm-hmm. if they do branch chains in the morning before they come in and do fasted cardio, because that way you have an amino acid pool there that you can pull some of that energy from instead of using or wasting the muscle away.
Yeah.
That way you wouldn't be doing more damage than you already are. So you have a little bit of a pool there to pull from for energy purposes. So that would help in that situation as well. But more or less, more kind of performance-based. Anything else? Anything else on branch chains? No? Okay. What about pre-workout, creatine, no explode? We can touch on it real quick. Do we need it?
I don't think so. And it's probably just my biased opinion because I don't drink anything before a workout. Like, the only thing I've ever done before a workout is probably like a cup of tea and just a little bit of caffeine. I just don't like the idea of my body becoming dependent on something that, like, I won't function the same way without it. Like, people build up this tolerance to branch chain, or not branch chain, you know, it's like pre-workouts. The same way you build up, like, any type of tolerance towards anything, you either, one, can't function without it, or two, you need more of it. So, like, when you first take it, you kind of get, like, a tingle, and after a while, those things go away. And the other day, like, CJ's in the gym, and he's like, man, I feel lost without my pre-workout. Because I don't even know if I'm going to do anything. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Just because he didn't have
it. Just because he didn't have it.
Well, I think the common thing in them, because there's always, like, herbs and crazy things you can't pronounce in the back of the label that, and there's always, they always have, like, the strangest or, like, most intense, like, ads on the front of their bottle, like, explosive, powerful pumps.
Right.
Like ridiculous stuff. Like, but it's basically, you could make your own if you just had a quality creatine and beta alanine.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have the creatine for this fast, explosive contractions. You have the beta alanine, which is kind of a buffer to allow you to produce those contractions for a longer period of time without burning out.
So there you go.
And the vitamin, there's always tons of vitamin B in there.
Right.
And that's just to help you convert calories into energy. So. If you could make your own, it would just need to be caffeine, creatine, beta alanine, and
mix it all together. I'm sure that would taste wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. One last thing. Other than the things we've talked about, is there any other supplements that have been known to work, or should we spend money on?
I've recommended melatonin to people.
For sleep.
I mean, sleep is so important to whether you're trying to lose weight, gain weight, just be healthy. You've got to sleep. And a lot of people can't always get 8, if you're trying to gain weight, 9 hours of sleep a night. And if you do get less sleep, you need to sleep pretty deeply. So maybe
deeper sleep, better recovery.
Melatonin.
Blackout the room.
Yeah, I would say blackout the room.
No TV
and cell phone an hour before bed.
No blue lights. Black out everything. So
yeah, I would try that and then go to melatonin if you needed to.
Mm-hmm. All right, before you wrap it up, do you want to end on your little rant about the cardio explode?
Cardio igniter.
I mean, I was just dumbfounded. Because, okay, all four of us in the room know that, like, the baseball team comes in the morning that usually I do stuff with, and then him and I kind of put together, like, a 5-week program for him. And they usually lift weights before, and then their coach has them do, like, conditioning after, which is usually running. And then, well, one kid's drinking, like, I thought it was a protein shake until somebody else, Joey, the kid who's, like, one of the student workers at the college at the gym,
starts Joey will like his name being mentioned.
He'll like it. He'll be fine. Ask him. He's like, hey, are you drinking protein before you run? Why don't you just drink it like after, you know, you get done? He goes, oh, no, this is a cardio igniter. And like my mind just exploded. I couldn't get over, like, I was like, well, cardio igniter. And he started explaining how it's going to increase his VO2 max. And my first response was like, yeah, because the Kenyans who run the Olympics use cardio igniters to increase their VO2 max, which is ridiculously beyond any type of comprehension that I can put my mind around, because those people just run for hours and hours and hours and hours
from running.
And that's just one of those supplements that you really don't, it's not necessary to use.
Don't waste your money on
don't
it.
Don't waste your money on it. Like a lot of stuff that you would usually buy in vitamin shop when you usually go get something, hey, here's 15 free samples of this. Like it, they're not necessary.
If anything on a box or a container, pill container says don't take more than such and such in so many hours, you probably shouldn't be taking that either. Just read the labels. It's pretty easy.
Was it the first, for one of the first, second CrossFit competition I did, they had a stand and they were handing out samples of that cardio igniter.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And I wanted to wrestle a hurricane. I was ready to go. But it was not a natural feeling. So like you said, if I had taken that on a regular basis, I would need that in order to be able to perform at that level. You should be able to perform at a high level without it.
Right. And that's exactly why I don't take anything other than protein.
All right. You think we covered everything?
Sure. I'm trying to take it all in.
Do you have any other random questions about any of that stuff? Mm-mm. Random. I don't mean random as in random, but like anything, because you bring a good perspective when it comes to asking. Like,
well, quickly, if we can do it quickly.
Yeah, let's do it quickly.
I guess it's not necessarily a supplement. It might be more, I know a lot of people, I've even tried it a couple of times. I mean, I'll admit it. I'm not here to lie or hide anything. For weight loss, you know, pills and
fat burners.
And I mean, they're not necessarily the greatest things either. Never. For,
because most of those thermogenics are just trying to increase your quote unquote metabolism. And they do that by just jacking your heart rate up
through caffeine,
through a lot of caffeine. And then but a lot of them will just have stuff like, capsaicin, which is in hot pepper. So it just increases your body's temperature. So then you're going to be burning more calories. But, for the money that you spend on that, you could spend it on gym membership or
you could buy ice and get in the bathtub and do an ice bath for 15 minutes every night
and increase your metabolism that way. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not doing it now and I haven't done it for a while, but
no, but that was a good thing to bring up
before. Right. That's a perfect thing to bring up. You should not have to take a weight loss pill because of that reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you taken a weight loss pill in the last 6 weeks?
No.
Ever?
And how much weight have you lost in the last 6 weeks?
42 pounds in the not 6 weeks, but since the beginning of September.
Yeah, because you're putting in the work,
right?
And for anybody out there who's wondering if they should take a supplement, I would say examine your training program, examine your diet, and if both of those are not in check, then I don't think you really have any business looking into supplements.
Correct.
Yeah. Cool. Well, and again, just real quickly, I mean, I guess it's just me speaking, but for weight loss, it's not that hard. You know, I mean, use me as a prime example. I just walk and eat healthy.
Yeah.
And I'm just...
And sleep good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And sleep good because I've been getting a lot better sleep. I mean, it's just coming off.
That's usually the one thing people would kind of miss on is the sleep part. Because if you're stressed and you don't, then you don't sleep, then you're not going to lose the weight.
But the walking helps with stress.
And it helps you sleep.
And it helps you sleep.
So...
Yeah.
I mean, everything you guys do also helps with all that. But a simple way to reduce stress...
Oh, yeah.
And sleep better. Just take a walk.
Summertime. That's what you listened to the other day, right? Yeah,
it was freezing out.
That was not. You're probably burning more calories though out in the cold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You are. So that's all I can think of. All
right. Well, take us away then, boss.
All right. Cool. Well, hey, we thank Johnny for coming out today with us. And I'm sure we'll have Johnny back a couple more times. Over the next couple of months or so, just talking about other things. I know there's a couple other things that I'm sure he'd like to talk about. So we appreciate that. We appreciate all of you listening to the podcast every week. And again, hit us up on our Facebook pages, Twitter pages, Instagram, Snapchat, blah, blah,
blah.
You
can find Johnny. Why don't you shout out your...
Oh, yeah. It's Johnny Slick 89. So that's Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, just Johnny Slick on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I have a group on Facebook. If you search my name, you can find it where people, it's just people come and ask questions So I'll post this podcast up there for people to listen to.
Oh, awesome.
And have everybody there check this out, too, so you can have some more listeners there.
Cool. Appreciate that. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, hey, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you all next week. Peace out.